Is that good? Yeah. Y'all having a good time? Yeah. You smiling? Anybody need a hug? Huh? Look, I got my hug this morning. You got one?
Last week, my turn.
Amen. See? Look at here. That'll bless your heart. I'll never forget him. That is pure, beautiful. Amen? Well, I came in the door and I asked several people as I came in, did you have a good week? Well, about five or six of them said, nope, it's been a tough week. I'm like, I understand that. A tough one too. Had a few said I had a good week, and one brother says, hey, I hadn't had any trials this week. Hallelujah. Amen. Then I walked in, one way, introduced myself, and I don't know you. Then the other lady said, yeah, I know. He usually has a suit on. Didn't get the memo today. It's dress down Sunday. He's supposed to wear jeans and a black shirt. What happened? But then I look around and your pastor showed up and he's sitting on the back row. Am I in trouble? Dennis, did you call him?
Yes, sir.
Okay. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I know last week we had a tough subject from James chapter 1. We looked at it where it tells us to consider it or count it all joy when we go through trials, various trials, all kinds of trials, all kind of fire. And we stay in that fire sometimes. And he says, just count it joy. Kind of tough, isn't it? Last night, what do we have on the news? Shootings. What, 20 people shot in Walmart? 26 injured, then another dozen or so, and what was it, Ohio was shot in the middle of the night by someone. This is a crazy time. Crazy world. It is, like I said last, it's dark, it's evil. Satan having a field day. But let me give you some news. There's two things we need to do, and preacher reminded me. We need to repent. And we need to realize that Jesus is returning. Amen? He's coming back. Guess what? We as his children, as believers, as born-again believers, we are victorious. We are overcomers. No matter all this mess that we live in, as we looked at last week, we're passing through. It's just the journey on. There's a purpose for it, for us to grow and mature as we go through these trials. We don't like that sometimes when tough times and we struggle, count it all joy. Right, preacher. I understand what the scripture says. I understand what you said last Sunday. If you weren't here last Sunday, go back and listen to the message on your church web. What an awesome site. You can go in there and listen to Genesis over and over and over. Your pastor. They even put me on there last week. So if you weren't here, please go back. Go. I mean, you get fed again by your pastor during the week through that church website. It's awesome to be able to do that, and it helps you keep up with what's going on in the church too, right? But, you know, it's easy to say, I believe. Yeah, I got it. I got faith and I trust. It's easy to say, yeah, I understand what James said last week, to count it all joy, to consider it all joy. When you experience and go through these trials, and last week I told you there's about 50 commands in the book of James alone in those five chapters. 50 commands. That was your command. Count it all joy when you're experiencing these troubles. Problem is, it's not in the pain and the agony, but you count it joy because who you are in Christ, who you belong to, and who is your God. And what he's going to do through that process, as we looked at scripture last week, it says it's there to mature you, to grow you, to perfect you. There's a greater reason as we go through the journey. There's a bigger purpose on the end of it. We're headed into eternity. And one day we won't worry about any of it. Praise God. For those who love Jesus. Amen. So if you're here today and you're going through some struggles, let me tell you, there's a God that loves you. There's a God that will walk with you. There's the word that he has given us to instruct us. He, as a Christian, he has empowered us with his Holy Spirit. He's given us the resources and the means. And you say, well, I understand that. I understand this is command. I understand that, Pastor. I know what you're saying. But I'm having a hard time obeying. I really don't know how to do it. Well, guess what? You don't know how to do it. But God does. That's why we find in this passage today what he tells us to do. I believe we can all relate to it because we struggle at times when that call comes or that tragedy that we're experiencing, that pain that we're enduring. We waver. We question. I said last week, sometimes we say, why? Why me, Lord? Why have I got to go through this? Why not you? Why has it got to be like somebody else? We go through these things because we live in a fallen world. Our bodies decay. People sin. You sin? Anybody here without sin? No one. There's only one who's without sin, and that's who? Jesus. Hallelujah. The perfect Lamb of God. Perfect blood that was shed for our sins. You see, we forget, a lot of times we're in that battle, we forget who we are and who is our God. I wore this shirt, it says what? Trust God no matter what. You've seen those signs around town? The guy that started that years ago and put that out, he now has a store in Oyster Point. I'll do a commercial for him. It's called The Anointed Life. He's a man of God, he's a preacher. Big old dude about this tall. He's got shirts and signs and all that he sells in the store. He's a pastor. He does ministry. He does missions. Was in the store the other week. My wife, she bought me this shirt. That's why I wore, when I put it on this morning, she kind of looked at me like, you wearing that? I'm like, you bought it? But I was in the store and we purchased some stuff from him and just love what it says because it's a good reminder that, hey, no matter what, you've got to trust God. You got to trust him. You got to believe. In this store, that man, he's got two chairs in the back of the store in this place where he just sits and does ministry. Talk. If you're with your wife, the wives can go around the shop and you can sit and he'll talk with you. He laid his hands on me and prayed for me. His hands about twice the size of mine, just kind of covered my whole back. I'm like, wow. When I walked in the door, I felt the presence of God. I told him, I said, man, the power of God is in the house. The power of God's in this house. Amen? Amen. The power of God is in you. Amen. I'm glad somebody said amen. Because when you got saved, Jesus came in, the Holy Spirit took up residence and empowered you to be an overcomer. To equip us for the trials that we have. Turn with me in your Bibles to James. Again, chapter 1. If you're able to stand, as I said, let's stand and read God's word, honor that word. Chapter 1, last week we looked at verse 2. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know the testing of your faith produces what? Steadfastness, perseverance, endurance. And it says, let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect or mature and complete, lacking in nothing. Pick it up here today, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. In verse 12, it says, blessed is a man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he received the crown of life. Let's pray. Father, once again, we come into your house to worship you. We worship you in song. We worship you in giving. Now we worship you in your word, praying, God, that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts, challenge our hearts, equip our hearts, our minds, our thoughts. Many of us, God, are struggling in many areas in our life. The list is long. The trials are just many. And as your children, you tell us to count it all joy, to persevere, to be steadfast, to hang in there, to realize, God, that you are with us, and that, God, that you are trying to do something. You're putting us through a fiery test for a reason, to equip us, to mature us, to perfect us, God, to be more like Jesus, to show us the way to live the Christian life, as James is preaching here to us. And we pray, God, that you will speak to our hearts, and God, that we'll leave here with something, God, that we can take with us in our life, God, that will help us through our times and our trials, our good and our bad. We live in some tough times, God. We lift up those that families that lost loved ones last night in these tragedies in our country, that are just over and over, God, the evil and the hatred that's going on in our world, God. We ask you to bless those families, to strengthen them, to hug on them and love on them. Help them with understanding, God, through this process. I pray for the churches and the pastors and the ministry that will minister to them, that you will equip them, God, to do the task before them. But God, our country needs healing. God, your children need to be loving in a time like this. So help us, God, to be obedient to your word, to live this out, these words that you teach us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can sit down. Sometimes, you know, we think with our mind and we have knowledge, and we wonder, what do you do with it? I know a lot of people that got a whole lot of knowledge. I know a whole lot of people in the church that are filled with the knowledge of the Word of God. It amazes me. But also I know people that are filled with knowledge that don't know how to use it. They don't have the wisdom that they need from God. We need wisdom. We need knowledge. These resources that He has given us. So we look at these scriptures. God knows us. He knows exactly what we need. He gives us the arsenal to fight the spiritual battle. That's why He says in Ephesians 6, put on the full armor of God daily. Why does He say it? Because He knows that we need that. He knows what we need to fight the battle that we are in. We're in a spiritual battle. There's a natural way. That's why when you look at scripture, it's the natural way this world goes, and there's a supernatural way. We as Christians operate in the supernatural. Amen? Natural way is contrary to what the supernatural way is. That's why that's conflict. That's why people don't, I said last week, they don't understand us. They don't understand the Word of God because they're not of God. Until you have Jesus in your heart and you're filled with the Spirit of God, you have no idea what Christianity is about, what it is to be a believer, until you turn your life and your heart and surrender everything to Jesus. Things change. The transformation takes place. You're a new creature in Christ. Amen? Aren't you glad you're no longer the same that you used to be before you got saved? Amen. You've been redeemed. You're not perfect, but you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. What did I say last week? You're heaven bound. That should excite you. That you don't have to stay in this world for eternity. This is just temporary. God knows. He knows exactly what we need in the way that we need. He knows that we need godly wisdom. If you're going to count it all joy, He says, you're going to ask for wisdom. You've got to seek it. Let me clarify what God even means by wisdom, what Scripture says. See, wisdom is a critical part of what we need. And we need to understand what it means. Simply put, when Scripture lays it out, is referring to wisdom is the ability to discern right from wrong, good from evil. Pretty simple, isn't it? With the intent on being obedient. Right from wrong, good and evil, with the intent to be obedient. That's the way it falls in. We have to choose if we're going to obey God's word or not. Amen? It's up to you. I can't make you obey God. If I could, I'm like, obey God. If you tell your children, obey me. They go, ask Kyle. We have to learn to obey. One scholar put it this way. He said, wisdom is the endowment of the heart and the mind which is needed for right conduct. Right conduct. Turn over to the Old Testament with me this morning. Let me give you where this comes from. 1 Kings. Solomon. Solomon has a prayer for wisdom. Look with me at verse 5. He's at Gibeon, and the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give you. And Solomon said, you have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he has walked before you, and look, listen, in faithfulness, in righteousness, in uprightness of the heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on the throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in this place of David my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people. Give me wisdom, the understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between what? Good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people? It pleased the Lord, it said, that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches, or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding and discern what is right. Behold, now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. Solomon asked the Lord, wisdom, give me wisdom. I can't lead your people. I can't discern. I can't make good judgments without your wisdom, God. That's what he prayed for. God goes on, gives him riches and everything he ever needs, but God was looking at his heart. His heart real? Was he really seeking wisdom? And what does God do? He blesses him. He wanted to know what was right and wrong. He wanted the ability to discern. Don't you need the ability to discern how to live this life? How to walk the talk? We need it. Paul understood this as he spoke to the churches in Philippi and Colossae. We read about those prayers. Look with me what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1. These two prayers, you need to memorize them, you need to quote them, you need to pray them. I pray him for your pastor. I pray him for myself. Look what he says here in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. And he says this to the church in Colossians, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 10. And say, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. That's the power of God. That's what you need in your life. That's the word of God. That's for us to use for his glory. Amen. Those prayers are for you to pray for yourself, for your church, for your pastor. Your pastor needs discernment. He needs the knowledge. He needs how to deal with you. Me. But you need it for yourself. So said, every day you should be on your knees before a holy and righteous God before you start your day. God, that's a good place to start right here. God, fill me up. I'm going out in this nasty, dirty, old, sinful world, and I need your wisdom. I need discernment. I need knowledge. I need the ability to live the way you call me to live. Because it's hard. Never said it was easy, right? But what? Powerful prayer. Wisdom. Charles Stanley, one of my heroes, I listened to him this morning. I listened to David Jeremiah and Jensen Franklin, John Hagee. And man, these guys are all on the same page as I was. I'm like, they're preaching about the same stuff almost. Charles Stanley says, you got to ask, you got to listen, and then you got to obey. That's good three words, isn't it? You ask God, you got to listen, and then you got to do something. We ask, we might listen, but when it comes to putting action behind it, we go, I don't know about that guy. My brother Wayne, when I've been praying about this surgery, and he said, we've been praying about the surgery, and I'm like, I'm wavering on it, and I'm like, yeah. He said, you ask God. Now, brother, I commend you for your prayers. He said, but now it's time to listen to him. Do something. He opened the way. Not the way you want it, but his way. You know, we got our way, but God's got another way sometimes. And we battle that. But we have to learn to seek, to ask. Wisdom is required to fight the battles and the trials that we're in. You have to have wisdom. That's why he says to ask. I don't have this kind of wisdom. You don't have that kind of wisdom. I don't operate the way God operates all the time. I don't have anything that even resembles it sometimes. So where do we get it? Where do we get it? He says here in verse 5, if you asked, if you lack wisdom, ask for it. It's kind of easy, isn't it? Just ask God. And what he says, he gives generously to all without reproach, and he said it will be given to him. It only comes from somewhere outside of ourselves. You got to ask God. Trials require it. Ask God. Remember, he gives generously to all. And then you got to come, you got to ask expecting. I'm going to ask God, but do you expect him to respond? Do you expect him to answer your prayers? Do you expect him to move? When you come before the throne, God, I need wisdom. Do you expect him? Do you expect him to change you? Do you really believe? We were talking about it even last week. When you go through the test and fire, faith is great. But faith is not tested, is it faith? You find out what kind of faith and trust you got when you're in the fire and how you come through that fire. Everything's wonderful. Yeah, I believe God. But then when your world falls apart, then you figure out how strong your faith is, right? Because I've seen there's people missing in this church today because they once said, hey, I got faith. I believe in the Word of God. I believe everything he says. And trials came along and things upset their lives and changed them in tragedies. And they're no longer in the church. I got a dear brother. His dad was my best friend. He died when he was 50. And ever since then, he's been blaming God for taking his dad. And this young man at one time was thinking about going to ministry. I'm like, your dad is in glory. He loved Jesus. He lived it out. But he wants to... I don't know why God took my dad. Well, I don't know either. But I know one thing, your God is in heaven. That's why I said when you stand before a grave and someone that you love has died, it says a lot about your faith and trust. Because if we believe that that loved one is in heaven, it's a big difference. You got to trust God. If you don't, you fall apart. You got to learn, and you got to expect God. Listen, expecting. Solomon asked God for wisdom. We ought to ask for wisdom. This isn't a divine suggestion, guys. This is a divine command. Ask. Ask. Count it all joy. And then he says, command number two, ask. Ask. We are commanded to count trials as joy, and we are commanded to ask God for the means to get through, to be able to count it joy. Because you can't do it yourself. A prayer for wisdom. It's got a must. See, it pleases God when we come before Him. It pleases God when we admit we need Him. It pleases Him. Matthew chapter 6. See, we need ask and we need to seek. Because when we come before Him, we do that, we glorify Him. He says in everything that we do, we are to bring glory to God. Everything. From what you eat, whatever you do, we want to bring glory to God. How do you do it in trials? Matthew chapter 6, here's what he says, but when you pray, go into your closet, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and you, your Father who sees in secret, will what? He says, I'll reward you. You've got to be a prayer warrior. You've got to seek. You've got to ask. We are to be diligent when we're asking. We are to be persistent. We are to be fervent. The church has to be that way. Listen, church. A lot of churches are struggling today. A friend of mine told me last week his son's church is closing in this town. I've been part of churches that close. But I find out the churches that are doing that are not praying together corporately. People talk a good talk. I've seen them come to a business meeting by the groves and criticize and point fingers. But when the prayer meeting came to pray for the church, where were they? Sitting at home with the remote in their hand. Or on the phone talking about what the church should be doing. Get up and run the church. And get on your knees and cry to holy and righteous God for help, for wisdom, church. We struggle. We struggle at prayer, and we struggle at reaching our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the church called to do? What's the Great Commission all about? Go! Get up and go tell people about your faith and your trust in your God. Amen. Baptize them in the name of the Father and Son. I'm getting off track. But God knows. Just be alert. You know, it breaks my heart, the state of the church today. And part of it is because they don't have wisdom. People don't seek God. People are not studying the Word of God. People are not digging in. People are not... When's the last time you cried for someone to get saved that you love dearly? When you came to the altar and said, oh God, save my loved one. Amen it. Grow me. When's the last time you talked to God? I mean, really talked to Him. Really talked and seeked His face and cried out to Him and listened and obeyed. You want wisdom? You ought to ask. And you ought to keep on. There's an acronym that says push, pray until something happens. Some people, well, you pray one time, God knows. No, God wants you to communicate. He says to seek Him. Ask. I've got people on my list I pray for, and I've been praying for years for them to get saved. And I'm not going to stop praying for them until they're taken home. Because there's always hope that God to get a hold of their heart. Amen? Amen. You got to desire and want it. You got to go at it. You got to expect it. God's going to do something. In Romans chapter 12, Paul tells us to seek. He says in verse 11, I think, he says, don't be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Verse 12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. Constant means keep on. Don't give up. Maybe you need some calluses on your knees. Wear them out. Wear it out. What? One of the, you know, we ask for wisdom, the greatest thing, we can go before a holy God. It's always there for us. Pray. Continue. Colossians says this in Colossians 4, continue steadfast in prayer. Jeremiah 29:11. How many times have you quoted that passage? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for wholesome and not for evil. To give you a future and hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. And I will what? He says, I'll hear you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. He says what? When you seek me with all your heart. In you. Real, authentic belief that you're crying to God. I mean business. God knows your heart. Part of the problem today is there's a lot of broken hearts. A lot of hearts need to be healed. And there's a lot of hardened hearts in the church today. Boy, it needs to be broken. I ask God to work on my heart all the time. It is dirty. It needs cleansing. It needs help in this world. He says, seek me with all your heart, with everything. That word asked here in the original language is an ongoing ask to keep on asking. Why should we pray for? What, you know, why? Why should we pray? Ask God for wisdom. Simply put, He has it and we don't. Don't get any more simple than that. You ask Him because He's got it. And it's there for us. We're His children. He says, I've provided everything for you. He's got it. We don't. We need it. Amen? Asked. See, that's the basic Christian position. That's where we stand. In other words, wisdom comes from above. It's a matter of pure vertical grace. It is a gift from a holy God, straight from heaven to us. Wisdom. It's where you're taking. You got to grab a hold of it. You got to ask. Seek. The third part. Do you believe God gives abundantly? He says, I came to give you life more abundantly. You believe He gives in excess? The abundance? He says, I give generously. That stuff. He is a giving God. He says, who gives generously to all without reproach. Wow. See James' logic here? There are plenty of Christians who lack wisdom. Plenty of them. But listen, the problem is not with God. The problem is with us. It's with you, with me. We have the problem. God's willing, He's generous. But usually it stands with us, not doing our part. Not trusting. Not really believing. Sometimes we don't even ask. And a lot of times we ask and we don't believe. You either believe God or you don't. Why do you lack wisdom? Sometimes it's because you don't do your part. Let me ask you something, and you don't have to answer me, but how many times did you open this last week? How many times did you say, God, I need direction for you and I need wisdom, and you start seeking and searching? How many times did you get on your knees and pray? And we expect God to do great things. We've got to do our part. Right? You can say amen. I hope you get it. We've got to get our hearts right. See, today, there are so many people who profess to be Christians. I've accepted Jesus Christ, but there's no life change. I'm saved. I'm okay. I heard from my own family, I'm okay. But there's no evidence of Jesus. There's no evidence of living a holy life. He says you are to be holy because what? I'm holy. We ought to be different from the world. That's why he says that we have a different attitude. That's how we handle these trials in this world because of who we are in Christ. But there's a whole lot of people who profess to be Christians and don't know Jesus. Because when Jesus touches your life, you're no longer the same. No longer the same. You can't stay the same. Because the Holy Spirit's in you, guys. There's a difference. You have to live different. You have to expect different. You have to ask different. He says in James chapter 4, you do not have because why? You do not ask. James begins to kind of tear away some of those preconceived notions about God. Sometimes we believe God is just like us. No, we're created in God's image, but we ain't God. Our desire and his desire is for us to become more like Christ. Amen. That's his desire. But sometimes we think, yeah. We become self-sufficient. Sometimes we look at things and it's all performance-based. Well, if you do this or do that, then that. Sometimes his way we treat people, well, last time I gave you this, I ain't giving it to you this time because you didn't do what you're supposed to do with it. So you don't, or you made me mad. I ain't giving you nothing. How we treat people. Or, hey, I gave you this, and you never let them forget what you gave them. How many times I remember when I gave you that? You didn't give them no gift. Expecting something in return. Doesn't work that way, does it? Sometimes you say, you just don't deserve nothing. I'm glad God doesn't work that way. He says, I give generously without reproach. No conditions on it. No matter what you've done, no matter how you know how messed up you are, how much you have screwed up, no matter what it is, I don't put conditions and I don't judge you. I just love you and forgive you. Jesus says, when you come to him and ask for forgiveness, what does he say? I forgive you and I cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. He wipes the slate clean. Hallelujah. Takes all my filth and cleaned it up. And remembers no more. He doesn't bring up old junk. We tend to do that. People. We're good at pointing finger. Such and such. God says, I give generously without reproach. I'll just give it to you. Don't judge. Paul says in Ephesians 3, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we asked or think according to what? The power at work within us. Do you really believe that? Faith. We do faith and evangelism, forsaking all, I trust him. Faith. Believing in God, in his word. Do you really believe that? Faith. See, one of the barriers that we have between God and us is unbelief. One of the barriers is that we really don't believe that he can change anything. I believe he can change everything. You know, if he can change me, he can change anybody. Right? It's so good. But we put these barriers up. He tells us to pray. Pray and believe that God moves. But he gives us a condition here in verse 6 of James chapter 1. He says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He says he is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Got to have faith. You got to have faith. The promise of wisdom is only given to those who have faith in God. One way to prove our faith is to keep asking, to keep seeking, just like in Jeremiah 29. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7-11, ask and it will be what? Given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be open. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, you will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who seek him? Wow. He's a good God, isn't he? He loves his children. If evil people will give good things, then we know God definitely will give greater things. Amen. He gives good things. You got to have faith. You know, like I said, faith, Hebrews 11 says that faith is what? Is the assurance of things hoped for, is the conviction of things not seen. Down in verse 12 of Hebrews 11 says, and without faith, listen, without faith it's impossible to please God. It says, whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. James says, ask for wisdom in faith. He doesn't ask for stupid things. I want a new truck. I can't afford a truck, but I asked. But he's saying, ask for wisdom, things that matter spiritually. Things that will help you through your trials. You got to ask without doubting. He says, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed. And I thought about it, because y'all know I love to fish, and sometimes I throw that cork right there, and that cork is bopping around in that water. It has no stability. Can't, whichever way the wind's blowing, determines where it's going to go. It's bouncing all around. You have no idea. That's the way it is. Doubt. Doubt in our lives, the bouncing around from one thing to another, it shows our faith, our lack of faith. I trust God no matter what. Makes you think. But he says to ask without doubting. Sometimes we go, it's like I have one of those fans that goes back, oscillating fans, or what they call them, back and forth. Or it's like watching a tennis match. Boom, boom. Remember the old pong game? Boom, boom, boom. Bouncing around. Don't know where to land. Trust God, don't trust God. Trust God, I don't trust God. That's doubt. wavering. You have to get to the point where you really trust God and believe this word. Someone said if you get the first verse of the Bible in Genesis 1 that God created what? The heavens are, you got the rest of it. If you can believe that God can do that, what's the rest? He can do it all. But today there's so much lack of faith. There's so much compromise of the Word of God. The church has compromised their beliefs. We want to be like the world. You're not like the world. You're different people. You're Jesus freaks. You can lie. You got to seek it. You got to ask for it. You can't doubt. Can't. So see, when we start doubting, that means there's something else in the place of our God. And when it says something else in the place of, that's our God. That's our idol worshipers. He talks in Elijah in 1 Kings 18, he talks about that to the people of the nation of Israel. They were worshiping God, they were worshiping Baal. When they, in their homes, they went at the door, there was a table there with their little idols, and they prayed their little prayers, and went out. And then they would pray to God. He said, you got to stop. Elijah, you cannot whimper around. You got to make a choice. Either you're going to worship a holy and righteous God, or you're going to worship Baal idols. You got to make a choice. You can't keep bouncing between the two. You can't straddle the fence. What do you say? If you're hot or cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth. He says, you can't serve two masters. You either love one or you're going to hate the other. You have to make that choice to ask. You can't doubt. You got to believe. You got to believe. You got to believe. You got to trust, no matter what, that God's got it. You're going through a mess. You're going through some struggles. You're going through relation problems. You're going through financial problems. You're going through job problems. You're going through health problems. We're going through all kinds of issues, and I could go on and on of things that the people are dealing with. As I said last week, you know what you're dealing with. And there's plenty here that nobody has an idea what you're going through. But God knows. And if you're going through these struggles and you're trying to count it all, joy, Pastor, I'm trying to get this, then you got to seek a holy God. You got to ask Him, God, give me the wisdom, give me the ability to make it today. Sometimes it is a moment by moment, asking God to help you. And I guarantee you, He'll be with you. He says, I'll walk with you. I'm with you. I'm going to get you through this. Just trust me and obey me. Even when it feels like I don't know you're there, God, He's there. God says, I don't leave you. What we do, we tend to walk away from God. Don't walk away from God. A lot of times we give up too soon in the battle. We've had enough. I can't take the heat anymore. He's not going to allow you to go through nothing unless He's going to equip you for it. He's going to be with you. Guarantee it. There, testimony after testimony. Last night, I listened to Pastor Dr. Thompson. He was the pastor of the wife that was teaching the Bible study at the church in Charleston, where the guy, 19 years old, came into their Bible study. Said amongst those people as she's teaching the Bible, he was supposed to go. He said, he's pastoring the church down the street. She's studying to be a minister. She's teaching the Bible study at the church down the street. He said, 15 minutes before he goes, she said, I want you to stay home. You don't go this time. No, I'll go. I always go. No, you stay home. Just stay home. He said, I stayed home. She goes to that Bible study. He said, later on, I get the phone call. There's a shooting at the church. He runs. He said, I'm only 5 minutes or so down the street. I ran to the church, and there's police everywhere, and they held me back. He says, I want to know if my wife's okay. Well, that young man has shocked those folks in that Bible study. For no reason. Just hatred and evil. And he said they told him that his wife was in it. He said, I lost all control. I screamed, hollered, everything. He said, I'm hurt. Don't understand. I'm a preacher. He said, his three kids and the families had to go to the barn hearing. He said, we got to go to a barn. I don't want to go. I have nothing to say. I don't want to be there. And the kid said, you need to go, Dad. We need to see this through. Hold on to what God has taught us. He said, no, I have nothing. He said, when he went to the barn hearing, he said, I just wanted to get up and run out the door. And my feelings I had for this young man, 19. And he said, then one of the daughters of one of the ladies that was killed stood up in that court in that barn hearing and told that young man, he says, that I forgive you. I love you. God loves you. You need Jesus. And he says, I'm sitting there and I don't know what to do inside. And he says, I've always listened to God. He said, God speaks to me in that still voice. He said, when I was 7 years old, God called me to preach the word. He said, I know I was going to be a preacher because God told me. He said, I listened to God's voice. He said, I wanted to leave. God says, sit down. He said, I struggled with God. I've got to go. He said, God said, get up. He said, I know what I was going to say, dude. He said, I got up. He said, when I got up, the Holy Spirit came upon him. And he said, I asked that young man. He said, I told him that I forgive him. My kids forgive him. He said, when I did that, he said, I can't explain it to you. He said, but the power of God, his overwhelming peace just flooded through my body and it flooded through my kids. See, I don't understand. He said, but God says, forgive him, and I did that. And God released a lot of that pain and agony. Changed us. He said, he told that young man that had to have Jesus in his life. He said, I still pray today that I have an opportunity to go and sit with him and share the gospel, which many have had. He said, but that day we had to make a decision. I'm either going to let this hold me back and defeat me, or I'm going to walk in victory with Jesus and allow God to move in my life and use me through this tragedy. And he has. God takes evil things and tragedies in our life and journeys and brings us through that. And I said, he gives us a platform to minister to others. Don't understand it all. We'll never understand all of God. But I can tell you, God says to ask, to seek, to listen, and then he says to obey. Bow your head. I usually don't do this, but listen. If you're here this morning and you're going through a struggle and you need prayer, just lift up your hand. Nobody's watching. Thank you, thank you. I need it. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation for you. It's the day God says, I love you, I forgive you, I've set you free, so I want to be your Lord and Savior. You just have to come to me and ask for forgiveness, to believe what the Scripture says, that he says, God said, I sent my only begotten Son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Come on. Come to Jesus. Give your life to him. And he'll come into your life and be your God, your Lord. He'll fill you with his Spirit. He said, believe that I went to that cross and died for you. Went to that tomb, and 3 days later he rose from the grave. He won victory over death. He took the sting out of death for us. He opened the door for us to have a personal relationship with him, to be heaven bound, to live the abundant life, to give eternity. And all you have to do is ask, believe, surrender, and obey. Father, there are people here today that are struggling, Some that you know raise the hand. Others are not going to raise the hand. That's okay. You know their hearts. You know their situation. I lift them up to you, God. You know their struggles. You know the trials. You know the fire they're in. God, they want it to calm. They want it to that fire to be put out. They need wisdom. They need direction. They need God for discernment. And God, I pray right now that as they ask for it, that you give it to them. Just download them in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, touch their hearts and minds. Give them what they need for the days ahead. Equip them, Lord, as you tell us, that as we obey your scriptures, to have faith and trust in you no matter what, God, we trust you. And I pray that for these folks today. I pray for that one that needs that relationship with you today. Today will be the day they're set free and they've given their heart to you. But thank you, God, for the words that you have given us today. In Jesus' name, amen.